Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 93 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled Changing the Spiritual Atmosphere by Redeeming the Time by Becoming the Redeemed of Time. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
Lesson 93, and I'm bringing us, I tend to bring a thought, then I keep trying to expand on that thought to bring the greater dimensions to the thought so that in the end it has and carries in it the whole counsel of God. This title, subtitle today is Changing the Spiritual Atmosphere by Becoming the Redeemed of Time. Last week, and I've been talking about last few weeks about redeeming the time. Redeeming the times. And we're going to be speaking more about that today. What does that actually look like as we're redeeming time? Now, this is a, every one of you are sitting here this morning because your time has been redeemed. And as I last week gave us a little more definition of what that looks like, we're not buying back the past. The word redeem typically means buying back. That is, paying a price in order to recover something that was once belonged to you. So the word redeemed here is we're not buying back time that was past, that was lost, so to speak. Because what God did with that is He forgave it. And where there's been forgiveness applied, then that forgiveness and that time's past, your past is not needed in God's future. So therefore, He forgives it. Can you hear what I'm not saying? God does not need your past as He's building the future. That's the reason it's forgiven. So what is it that we are redeeming? Let's look at this. Redeeming the time isn't about buying back wasted time. It's about dedicating ourselves to using future time to redeem the future. We are redeeming our past is to come under forgiveness, and our future is redeemed. Why do we study the Word of God? Why do we want to walk with God? Why do we come to church on Sunday? It's because you're wanting to redeem tomorrow. Without that, so we now have in our grasp the spiritual ability to redeem tomorrow. To redeem the time of tomorrow requires someone that's been redeemed in time. To redeem the time of tomorrow requires someone that has been redeemed in their time. Now, we're going to move forward with that idea. So we can see that redeeming the time here, we're speaking about future time. So when you go to speak to someone, if you give them the gospel or whatever, they're wanting to repent of their past, and you're speaking into them redeeming their future. You're not redeeming for them heaven, you're redeeming their future of heaven. Redeeming the time starts right now in this moment and extends to the movement after, the moment after, and the moment after that. So we're redeeming the moments after. The future is waiting to be redeemed. You see, the enemy wants us to get hung up in our past. As a prophetic people, we are always futuristic in thinking. We're from today on. It's not that we forget history. It's just that we realize the part that can be changed is the future. We do not want to end up where we're heading. in a lot of our behavioral patterns. So what do we do? Why do we come? Why do we learn God's Word? Why do we learn God's heart? It's because it teaches us how to live tomorrow, therefore, and thus, redeeming the time. It is very hopeful. It's very powerful. Now, it is ready for someone to walk in love, light, and wisdom. Now, God's time is always redeeming time to fill up eternity. You've heard me say this before. If you have a prophetic word in mind for someone, it always has redemption in mind. You've heard me say that over the last few years. And I'm teaching you why I would say such a thing. It's because when God moves, when God speaks, God's always in the redeeming of the time. Now, it's here it says, "Wherefore he saith, awaken thou that sleeps, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Can somebody show me what the will of the Lord is in the context of that verse? Redeeming the time. So if you want to know what the will of the Lord is, it's redeeming the time. Now, Jesus Christ and the cross redeemed your past. But he has called the church to redeem the futures by the indwelling Christ. Now, what I'm saying here is, it is just words, but now I'm telling you, it's huge. It's huge because the enemy constantly, I dare say, what percentage of your daily thought life is about past? Well, this one's doing this. Well, this one ain't got the money to pay this bill and ain't got this. Well, my cousin and my children, and this one's not this one, and this one's not that one, and our government's doing this one, and they did the, you hear what happened yesterday, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So therefore, the prophetic voice is being tied up with things that it can't do anything about, therefore rendering it powerless in redeeming the time. Amen? Now, redeemed, Colossians 4, 5, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. I'm sure everyone in here understands that we cannot save anyone. Have you tried to talk someone into salvation? It just doesn't work, does it? If the Holy Spirit does not come upon a heart or a life with conviction, there is no salvation. So we understand that we're watching. We want to be an instrument. Why Jesus can save mankind without us, given the gospel? Did you know that? Says it in Romans chapter 1, you can look at nature and tell. So he doesn't need us to give the gospel. So why does he implore us to be evangelists and give the gospel? It's so that we are on the scene to redeem the time of the person who received salvation. In other words, you're the first responder unto salvation. We're there with as a prophetic voice, redeeming their futuristic time. Keep that in mind as we keep continuing. God is not bound by time and space. There has been a time that God made time stand still and even go backwards. So understand, we're the ones that are limited in this time segment. God's not. He can do anything with it that he wants to. You can see here in Joshua 10:13, and Joshua 10:13 says, "And the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Asher, so the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and has not to go down about a whole day. Here we see that God stopped time for a whole day. Now, whether you believe it or not, God, I don't know if I need to go here or not. I'll go here a little bit. Every one of us in this room, you probably would not be here if God hadn't stopped about a half a second, maybe 30 minutes or something in your life to redeem your time. It's the reason you're here. God messes with time. Okay. Anybody hear what I'm saying? Do you want to learn about that someday? I can take us in that and show you how the Lord does that. Now, what he says it here in Isaiah 38:8. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of degrees which has gone down in the sundial of Ahaz 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees by which degrees it was gone down. There again, God can do with time whatever he wants to. He can mess with time. He can mess with your time. And he does. Every one of you, nobody here planned to be here 10 years ago. But you're here. A bunch of misfits if I've ever seen it. Don't have the same lineage nor background of anything. But we're all here. Why? God has messed with all of our time. He has pulled us here for this appointed time. Amen. Could you feel it? Could you feel the witness? Been called here for this appointed time from all of these different directions, have nothing in common. Very few are even kin to each other. For what purpose? God has a, what he calls, such a time as this. So he has called us together. Some's been waiting longer than others, but everyone here knows that this place has a destiny of such a time as this. Everyone's here outside of all of your plans. God changed all of your plans. No one expected when they were riding down 64 to say, I'm going to church here now. But you find yourself here. Why? God's messing with time. And God's going to send some people here to give their time an opportunity to meet him. Now, when God messes with this much time, do you think that the times of God are going to look ordinary? I don't think so. They will not be ordinary. We're fixing to find out how much you really trust God as he messes with our time. Now, in our individual lives, the Holy Spirit works redemption by restoring what was lost. Only redemption will change evil days so that they become the day of salvation. I believe the idea of redeeming the time is possible through the unlimited supernatural power of God's Holy Spirit that dwells within each believer. What does an act of redemption look like? I thought I would throw this in here. What does an act of redeeming time look like? What does an act of redeeming future? And when we pray, we very seldom do we pray to change the past. Right? It's always, prayer is always praying for things that we are hoping for. And it's praying for things that we can't see. Now, the reason we're praying for things that we can't see, it means that it hasn't happened yet. Did you know you can pray and have hope, and then sooner or later you might see it? So the verse indicates that It's a testimony of what I'm trying to teach today, that redemption is futuristic. So we're trying to redeem the time, and what do we redeem it with? We redeem it with faith. You see, Jesus doesn't have to exercise faith for the lost. He's already bought and purchased the lost. So that's in the past category. Jesus does that. Says this in Isaiah 61:3. Now look at it. What is an act of redemption? It is to console those who mourn, to give beauty for ashes, to give all of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of what? Righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So what does an act of redemption look like? We're going to redeem future here. We console those who mourn. There's a lot of people in mourning for different reasons. You give beauty for ashes. You're looking at somebody that's a complete mess. And you ask the Lord, Lord, how did you see them before the foundations of the earth? I don't think this is it. Then you start doing what? You start giving them their beauty for their ashes. You start speaking. You don't sit there and say, well, I know how you got all burned up. Bless God. Now, if you'll repent of your wicked, wicked ways, trust me, you don't know how the ashes got there. You've been given the commission as a prophetic people, if you so choose to be one of those, to speak beauty for their ashes. And then you give all for joy, which is the love of the Holy Spirit, for joy. Then what do you do? The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So why do we worship God when we come in here? Did you know that anyone that comes in here, I don't care what the situation, if they're carrying any heaviness, that our praise and our worship should be of such a degree that no one can leave here with it? This is how you... Would you like to redeem someone's heaviness for the future? What do? You give them a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. What is a garment of praise? It means you're covered in it. It covers you up. A garment is a covering. A garment of praise means when somebody sees you in worship as an example. And I know there's all kinds of ways of worship. We're going to use this one. As we come together as a congregation, when you have on a garment of praise, the only thing a person can see when they see you is your garment. Praise God. It's all they can see is your garment. It's your covering. And your covering is praising and worshiping God. If you have a spirit of heaviness, and let me give you a little side note, a little freebie here. Everyone carries an element of heaviness. It's with the fallen nature of man. Some carry more than others. Some are burden-bearing heaviness. Some is personal heaviness. Now, heaviness doesn't mean that you're full of sin. Heaviness means you are aware of things that are heavy. I've got one particular friend. He could be in a room full of copperheads, and he'd walk right over all of them, not even know they're there. He didn't even know of a problem. And praise God for him that he can do that. Most people aren't like that. We all carry a percentage, a little bit of heaviness. So therefore, praise, a cloak of praise, is necessary for all of us. Now please catch this one. What the enemy tries to do, his only hope of stopping a prophetic voice, is for you to change appropriation of the praise. In other words, We'll put on a cloak of praise. But if we praise ourselves, what happens? You see, it's what I call misdirected passion. The enemy gets a hold of our passions and misdirects them. And with a misdirected, so the enemy can't change it. He knows this verse. So he'll try to capture your garment of praise, and he'll say, well, look how good you are and how smart you are. Why aren't people saying how you're not even being noticed? The only thing I can tell you, you're getting a job done if you're not being noticed. Your garment of praise is all someone sees, not who you are as an individual. So what does an act of redemption look like? I want you to consider then that verse, that the Lord might be glorified. Redeeming means serving to offset or compensate for a defect. Now it says this in Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world. When God has chosen us before the foundations of the world, your future was redeemed then. Now that might mess with your time and your brain, but just understand God doesn't go by time. There's more to that we're going to get into as we continue. Matthew, it says this, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundations of the world. So here we see this, that you were thought of, you were redeemed in the mind of God before the foundations of the world. Here we see that not only have you been redeemed, there are some secrets that have been kept since the foundation of the world. Isn't that something? So we see one secret. I'm sure you have shocked a lot of people when you got saved too. Well, that was a little pun there. We'll move right along. The greatest revelation of all time is the mystery of the church. It's the movement, it's the energy, it's the fourth dimension I've been teaching you about. This fourth dimension, this movement, this energy. See, the enemy would like to convince us that we have no energy in here, no spiritual energy. It creates movement, it creates energy. This is part of that mystery of the scripture I just read to you, that was before the foundations of the world. And you got to understand something. Consider this, please. Satan entered Judas Iscariot because his mandate was to kill the King of Glory that was going to sit on the throne in Jerusalem and rule and reign. Had God not kept the church a secret, Satan would not have entered Judas. You see, Satan didn't know this secret of God. The church is on the scene now. We are a secret that's been revealed for this day. The enemy didn't know about us. He didn't know we was a coming. So the only thing the enemy can do is try to keep us from coming. Because if we show up, we win. Why? Because this time's been redeemed. So now we want to learn, how do we walk in time that's been redeemed by God? How do we walk? How do we function? What do we do? It's the mystery, the secret of the church. God is redeeming man's reason. Now watch it. And therefore, the ability to redeem time by being the redeemed of time. Now, let's look at this real good. We are wanting to redeem time. We've been called by the Apostle Paul to redeem the times. Now we discover that we are a product of time being redeemed. So therefore, we want to have the ability to redeem time by being the redeemed of time. In other words, it's important that we walk in the understanding that we've been redeemed. When you walk in the revelation that you're the redeemed one, that you're the redeemed one, that you are the redeemed one, that you are the redeemed one, that you are the redeemed. You see, the enemy is constantly having to you, enticing you to walk into ways of an old man. But the truth is, you've been redeemed. You are a new man in Christ Jesus. When you agree with the enemy and walk in your old ways, you are not walking in the redeemed person. A redeemed person redeems time. Now that might be a little confusing, but let's move forward here. It says this in Psalms 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His mercies endure forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord do what? Say so, who He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. So you've went from redeeming time for others to find out that you are redeemed in time, and then you are the redeemed one. So whose time's been redeemed? Ours. It's the reason we live forever. It's been redeemed. Now look at it here. Please look at it. There is, I call this a spiritual science. There's something, you look in this scripture, not just at it. When you look in this scripture, have you ever had somebody come into your place of business or home and they say something, it just triggers you, just sets you off? I take that was an amen. Something triggered you. Something caused you to go into motion and use energy. But you had a trigger. Anything that has a trigger is of spirit. You say, well, they just made me mad. Well, this is spiritual. It's a spiritual thing. Yeah, they hit your trigger, all right. You know how to tell what's inside of you. It's when you get shook up, it's what comes out. It's a trigger. Now, if that's true about the negative, it's true about the positive. This verse has a trigger. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemer of the Lord say so. What does say so mean? The power or act of deciding or allowing something. Now, you should have felt the Holy Ghost go up your spine and out the ends of your fingertips or something. Say so is a trigger of the redeemed. It's important that you understand you're the redeemed and you say so. You don't go around and say, boy, I had a hard day. I mean, devil just whooped my hind end, nudgy, 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 and this done that, and I've been mistreated here, and I've been mistreated there. That doesn't sound like the redeemed say so to me. You've got to understand what you're triggering. If you're redeemed of the Lord, you got to say so. To say so is an act of faith. Faith releases and changes and redeems future. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So the redeemed say so. What do they say so? We have faith in things that we hope for. It's evidence of things we don't see. Why do you say that? Because I'm redeemed. And I'm going to say so, bless God. You can do what you want to. I'm redeemed and I'm going to say so. So your attitude is going to be checked in the spiritual realm by if you're saying so. So you want to check into what you're saying so to. That's right. Come on. Now, y'all know I'm telling you the truth. You know I'm telling you the truth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercies endure forever. So what are you, when you say so, what are you triggering? You're triggering the redeemed. And who are the redeemed? They're the ones who gives thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Well, listen here. Listen to me. You don't give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, if He's not good. You're giving thanks to the Lord because He's good. Because you got evidence He's good. Well, which came first? The redeemed or the say-so? The say-so. The say-so is what produces things in your life that you're going to give thanks to the Lord for. Say-so is the trigger. Say-so is a spiritual trigger. Just like somebody can tick you off and push your trigger, and you'll say so some things you shouldn't be saying so about. Listen, you want the trigger of the Holy Ghost. And the redeemed, because you're redeemed in this time, and you got things to do, what's redeemed? Your future is being redeemed when you say so and you're giving thanks to the Lord. For His mercy endures how long? Forever. So how many times does that mean He's going to give you mercy? Forever. Well, I don't know if God's going to give me mercy on this. Yes, He is. He is. I know He shouldn't, but He does. He does. I'm about to run out of air. I'm going to turn into one of them hiking preachers, sure as the world. We say so. The power, what it means is the power or act of deciding or allowing something. Here's what it says in Isaiah 62. And they shall call them, the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. Now listen, what's going to happen to this church? I mean, I'd like to go all the churches all over the world, but that's too big for me. This church, if we, I hope this is a prophetic call. If we will start walking in that we are the redeemed and say so, amen. And say so, there's people going to search us out. They're going to seek out a city that's not forsaken. This city of congregation of believers will not be forsaken. If we will accept and walk in the fact that we have been redeemed, most born-again believers are born again, they don't believe it. Talk to people all the time, say, I don't know if I'm saved or not. And I say, well, you probably are. Well, I think I lost it. I'd say, well, you can't lose something you didn't have, so you got it. People that are lost don't worry about being lost. Only people that are saved, the enemy tries to talk them in that they might be lost. I say, well, let's just get saved all over again. Ain't going to hurt a thing. You see what I'm saying? The redeemed have got to say so. And when the redeemed say so, it's the trigger that unleashes everything that we're going to thank God for. Not only that, people's going to seek us out. They say, we want to go see the redeemed. Why do you know they're redeemed? I don't know. They say so. Praise God. Has anybody got it?
Yes.
Praise God. I'm getting hot up here already, preacher. I'm sorry. Ephesians 5:32. Now, the redeemed of the Lord's going to learn how to say so. They're going to learn that they're redeemed. They're going to talk about it. They're going to brag on their being redeemed. You say, well, Alan, I don't feel redeemed today. I don't care. Say so anyhow, because you are. Just say so till you feel better. It says when you got heaviness, just to praise Him, what you going to praise Him about? I'm going to say so. I'm redeemed. Well, you feel bad. Well, you're still redeemed. So start saying so, and the heaviness will leave. Ephesians 5:32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. You see, the church is a group of saying so redeemed people. We don't sit around hope we're redeemed. We are redeemed. And we're going to say it. And then he says, I speak concerning this bunch of people that's in Christ, that's called a church, or people that's redeemed, that say they're redeemed. He says, I got a secret about that crowd. It's in Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. How do you say preaching? According to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. So you got to understand something. This redeemed crowd that we say so, we're a mystery. We are a secret that's now been released. And so Paul's saying here that he's going to preach Jesus Christ according to the revelation of this secret. There's a bunch of people running around saying they're redeemed. They don't really look like it, but they're acting like it, that they're redeemed. This was some secret or mystery that was hidden God before the foundations of the earth. Watch it. There is Bible prophecy and there is Bible mystery. Why did Paul say he was going to preach Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery? You see, prophecy said there's a king coming. Prophecy was Jesus is the king of the Jews. All of that was fulfilled. If I could put a division in the Bible, it would be between prophecy and mystery. Amen. That's where I would put it, just for teaching reasons. I'd say prophecy's here, mystery's here. The church is a secret. Us sitting here, you are not Jews. You are redneck redeemed people. Some of you appreciated that and some didn't. If you appreciated it, you might be a redneck. Now, there's Bible prophecy and there's Bible mystery. A lot of people confuse the two. You see, Satan knew prophecy. He knew Jesus was the king. So he killed him. God didn't have to do away with Satan. Satan done away with himself. God didn't touch him. Can you imagine this? Satan himself sacrificed the Lamb of Glory. He did it himself. He entered Judas, caused him to be hung on a rugged cross. It was a mystery. It was a secret. And within this mystery, within this secret, is what's called the power of the resurrection, the power of the gospel. And to start with, this group of people, Jesus says, I'm going to call it my church. They didn't really know what he was talking about. In Strong's Concordance, I chose a picture of a pastor there baptizing. This, the very act of us doing this was wrapped up in the mystery and the secret. In the Strong's Concordance, a mystery is a secret doctrine. The definition is it's a mystery or secret doctrine. Usage is a mystery, secret of which initiation is necessary in the New Testament, the counsels of God once hidden, but now revealed in the gospel or some fact thereof. Excuse me, please. I'm good. Thank you. So we see that there's Bible prophecy and then there's Bible mystery. And this part of the mystery was hidden in God. Now, redemption is the biggest part of the mystery. So what is our marching orders? We're a church. We're the gathering group here. We're a mystery. We're a secret that was not prophesied in the Old Testament. But here we find ourselves in 2019. So as we're doing that, what is our marching orders? Our marching orders is to understand that redemption is the biggest part of the mystery. That's the reason I say to you, any prophetic word is going to have redemption in mind. That's how you test yourself. It's always got redemption in mind. There's Bible prophecy and mystery, redemption. Can you understand why now that the redeemed need to say so? Yes. The redeemed are the ones who bring redemption. Jesus died on the cross for everybody's past. The redeemed are the ones that speaks into everybody's future with the gospel. The gospel redeems someone's future. So therefore, the redeemed must say so. And by you saying so, don't be timid. If you're redeemed, say so. God is looking for the redeemed that say so, that give thanks unto His glory, that He gives the power of the resurrection. Watch it here. It's Ephesians 3. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to me to you. Don't be scared of the word dispensation there. It means dispensing, a giving out of, a pouring. Why did he use that term, dispensation of the grace of God? It's because this is a mystery. It was a secret. Paul dispenses it. What's he dispensing? What's this mystery and the secret? It's of the grace of God, which is given to me to you. Can you see how the enemy tries to mix law with grace? I've heard people say, well, you just do grace too much, Alan. You can't do grace too much. It's just impossible. You can't overdo grace. Now, you might overdo sin, but you can't overdo grace. Grace is not about allowing sin. Grace is about God's grace. Yes. It's about His mercy. Oh, yeah, you know how long it lasts?
Forever.
So Paul came on the scene talking about this grace of God. So why do the redeemed say so? Because every one of us know we're sitting here bound for heaven, forgiven of our sins, given power from heaven, and we know none of us deserve it. God must be somewhat crazy to trust us with it. That's right. Why would God do such a thing? Why? Because when we mess up, He's got grace to cover it. That's why. You're going to mess up. It's about not about not messing up. It's about not trying. God wants us to try, not be successful. All success is in Him. He's called to redeem. Just say you are, Alan. God, I don't feel redeemed. You won't believe I kicked that cat yesterday. God, I kicked him 100 miles. It's not about my performance. I'm always daily being called back into my redemption state. Alan, shake it off, man. Come on, man. Do you not know that you're redeemed? Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm ashamed. All right, repent and let's get on with it. Okay, God. How do we do that? Because he's got grace. I don't know about y'all, but I have to start over every day. Every cotton picking day, I have to start over. Not on the same thing all the time. I can go a good 4 or 5 years, and there it comes back again. Where did that come from? I have found out and discovered that honesty with God will keep you repented up. Don't worry about the grace of God. It will not give out. The question is, will your repentance give up? If you know you're redeemed and you'll say so, it helps you with repentance. It helps you with the sin. It helps you with all of it. Because it feels so good to be redeemed and say so. It just feels real good to say so. To know your heart's right with God, you're walking with God. You might not be but in this 5 minutes, but say so. Because you got her for 5 minutes. Well, just say so for 5 minutes. That 5 minutes will turn into 10 minutes and it'll turn into 15 minutes. Then you'll get to where you can't even get up without saying so. Then you're going to walk around, people's going to think you're about half crazy. Just say so anyway. What did I have next? Oh, let me finish this. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the what? The mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of what? Grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. All right. I've tried to teach you 4 things today, I think it was. Number one is you're redeemed. And if you're redeemed, if you want to experience the life of a redeemed person, you've got to say so. If you'll enter in the saying so, God will give you revelations of the mysteries that's in Christ in you. How do we do all of that? How is it all made possible? By the grace of God. Now, what I've just told you today is big. It's powerful. It should change all of our lives because we're going to walk in redemption. There's one thing to be redeemed. That's good for your past. But when you walk in redemption, it redeems your future. Things will change. Things will happen. Have you understood what I tried to teach you this morning? Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we love you.